Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
And three. Hello and welcome to another edition of the C-Squared Podcast. Your host, Curtis, and my co-host, Aaliyah, and we are here today with Mr. Keith Tchatchkes, whose name I always mispronounce. And intentionally now because it's become was a running gag on an old podcast of ours. But anyways, so Keith is here and he's from Ghost Cult Magazine and he also does a couple podcasts. He does a few things actually. Social media marketer, tons of stuff. So anyways, Keith is here. Anyone who's listened to this podcast probably knows him. He also hosts podcasts on Ghost Cult Magazine. So first of all, Keith, thank you for being with us.
Reunited and it feels so good. Had to. Jesus. Good to be back.
Oh, Jesus.
Good to be back.
So to begin, I'm going to turn it all over to Aaliyah to get the party started.
I think the party's already started. Let's hear some more of that song, Keith.
Word.
So I want to just actually start off by talking about, we talk a lot about album reviews and music reviews in general, but we haven't spoken a lot about concert reviews. And I know that Ghost Cult does them a lot. So can you dive into a little bit of what goes into writing a concert review and how it differs from an album review?
Sure thing, and great to see you here, Aaliyah, after many emails and maybe an occasional video, but nice to see you again.
Yeah, you too.
And I appreciate the glow up from Curtis, in addition to Ghost Cult's been around for 10 years. Curtis was actually an original contributor to Ghost Cult before I even came in, let alone became the owner. But we just made 10 years and I've been reflecting a lot on how we put out content, which is grueling, to be honest. Somebody today called me lazy on Facebook and I did the thing that I never do, which is argue. I'm a social media expert. Oh, no. And I always preach like never fight on social media. And I was like, how dare you call me lazy? You don't know how fried and burned out I am. But he called one of my posts low effort, which is fair.
That's such BS, man.
What it is, yeah, you know, I don't want to sidebar from the topic, but I will say that I was deeply hurt and upset. And I went and complained about it on Twitter, also like a jerk. But anyway, you can't win ever. But we put out a lot of content. And as we've hit 10 years and just passed it as an anniversary, I've been thinking a lot about how we do what we do and how we've managed to do what we do. So just really quickly, for those who don't know, so you understand the scope here, Ghost Cult started in the Netherlands 10 years ago as a webzine to cover underground avant-garde metal. And then I came in the middle of year one, or just before the middle of year one, became an East Coast editor, senior editor for America. And then I ended up owning it by the end of the first year, even before that. So it just kind of happened, fell into my lap. And we've expanded the brand. Obviously the underground scene we still love and are partial to, but we covered a lot more mainstream stuff and a lot of stuff all over the world. So we still have quite a sizable team in Europe, as well as North America and other places now, Scandinavia, India, other places. So really cool. I feel very fortunate. To answer your question about coverage, concert coverage is a real pickle, especially now in the, it's not quite post-pandemic, but in the after the bad times pandemic era. And it's really challenging. I try to tell people, first of all, most people out there, there's an army of people who want to be concert photographers, and it's really a crowded field. In terms of organizing coverage, it's not easy. We get turned down quite a bit. Things you want to get covered can't get covered sometimes. Just bands are not buying tickets anymore. I don't know if people are really, I don't think fans are aware, and I don't think a lot of people even in the industry pay attention to this, but in years ago, you would just get an allotment of free tickets for every city. And that would be your press list. That would be your guest list. That would be your friends. That would be giveaway and contest winners. Then it became Live Nation kind of bought everything, took over the world, dominated everything. And they would make the bands buy tickets up front for the whole tour, which is why sometimes there's a ticket buy and the guest list and a press list. And sometimes there's not. When Slayer went on their farewell tour, which the anniversary of which was yesterday, the final Slayer day ever, or today, one of those. And then the world went to hell, by the way, when Slayer retired. I don't know if anyone's noticed this but me. It's been all downhill. But They, you know,
what a
imagine
coincidence.
Yeah, pure coincidence. Imagine what that guest list was. And there was a press list buy, but imagine how much money they had to spend to buy get tickets for friends in every city all over the world, as well as photographers and reviewers. I was very lucky to go to the last ever Slayer show in New York when I was still living there. So just for perspective, now that we're past this time, it's really hard. And a lot of websites and webzines and writers, first of all, if you're not affiliated with a site and you don't have like a publishing arm, it's even harder than ever. It used to be if you maybe went to the band or went around the publicist, which I don't recommend, and you went to somebody or you knew someone on the tour, you could get a photo pass, show up, shoot, and put it on your Flickr and put it on your MySpace and put it on your whatever Instagram and not really have an outlet. Now you really need to have an outlet to cover shows. And it's harder than ever to arrange shows. And it's really hard if you don't also write and shoot. So if you want photos, sometimes I have writers that are so good, I'll just send them to a show. And if they don't take any pictures, I don't care because they're such good writers. I want to send them to do coverage. That's unusual. And when I say write, I'm not talking about Chaucer or Shakespeare. I'm talking about, can you just write a recap of what you saw? Can you just write a summary? Now, I have to say, we've had a couple of photographers on the team in the post times tell me, listen, I'm just not interested in trying to learn to write or become a reviewer. I just want to shoot shows. And if that means I can't shoot anymore, I can't shoot anymore, which is a bummer because I like to give people opportunities and work with people.
Got you. I didn't know there was that crossover between photography and writing for the concert coverage. And I had no idea that there was the transition to where bands had to buy tickets for photo passes, et
cetera. Yeah. Anyone who wants to go to a show, that ticket is paid for now, especially at the highest levels. So listen, I lived in Brooklyn, I could walk into St. Vitus. There's usually, unless it's a particular specific band and a picky tour manager, you could just walk into St. Vitus with a good camera and shoot the show and nobody's really going to give you a hard time. And a lot of great shows happen at St. Vitus. But if you want to go to the Garden, if you want to go to a big venue, now that I live on the West Coast.
Like Live Nation level stuff.
Any Live Nation venue, you almost always need to. And now there's a process for the biggest bands where you actually have to go through Live Nation and it's very impersonal. So let's say me, I have been a music journalist almost 20 years, 15, 10 at Ghost Cult, 15 plus in general, almost 20. And I have years of connections and years of relationship building with publicists. And you know, publicists move around, change, go to different jobs, et cetera. At the same time, now there's an impersonal form. And that form you do a form on Live Nation's website. And then you maybe get selected to get put to the next person, the Live Nation rep. They judge if your outlet is worthy. Then that from there, it goes to the decision maker, which is usually not the publicist at this high level. It's usually the management, the agent, or someone else. And maybe they ask the publicist, hey, do you know who Ghost Cult is? And the publicist will hopefully say, yeah, I know who Ghost Cult is. Put them in. But I would put them in. But you can't always tell. So, you know, it's very hard. And it's hard on the ego. And I know that it's hard for photographers. There was a period of time in America for like Warped Tour, the punk tour, the last 25 years that just went dark out of business a couple of years ago. They used to just approve everybody. Any city, if you applied and you had a Flickr or an Instagram or nothing, they just let you come shoot the whole Warped Tour. Headliners, everybody. No photo release. And they just considered it a good business for them to do that. That would not happen today. That could not happen today.
Right. Well, how about from the perspective of bands who might want to get their shows covered? A lot of independent bands or bands that are just starting out, you know, they can use coverage for everything that they're doing, and they would love to have a live performance reviewed, for example. So what can bands do to help encourage that to happen, I guess?
I hear you. First and foremost, just like putting out new music, get ahead of people. As an editor myself, I am so busy and inundated. Anybody that says, hey, my record's coming out Friday, can you review it this Friday? Definitely not. Hey, my show is in 2 months and we're having a record release party and you guys are in New York City. We see that you have photographers and writers in the town. Could you send someone out to cover it? Let me see if I have someone interested. That's really cool. Most places are happy to try to help, or at the very least, if we can't go cover the show, help promote it in some way, share it, retweet. If we're a bigger outlet, retweet or reshare, regram somebody's post a news story. Hey, so-and-so's album is coming out on December 2nd, and they have a record release show on December 3rd. Here's the link to go check out the event if you're in that city. At the same time, you know, we've covered a lot of DIY stuff. The level of how many bands, just the billions of bands, it's so hard. But yeah, of course, we've covered some DIY stuff. Actually, our crew in the UK, they will just discover a new band, go cover it, and then to ask me, do I want to run the coverage? Sometimes they'll just be like, hey, this band saw my stuff from Bloodstock Open Air, and I shot Judas Priest and Iron Maiden, and do you want me to go? Yeah, I covered this underground band that's near my house. Do you want the coverage? Of course, sure, why not? Of course. Especially, I know it's my writer who I work with all the time. I know what the quality is. Less work for me to do. Let's help somebody. Let's help the underground. I always do that if I can. In terms of, you know, just get ahead of them. Email them. Don't be sheepish, is one of the most annoying things possible. Hey, I hope you can help. Don't be soft. Ask for what you want. Be a big grown-up person and just ask for what you want. Be direct. Hey, and you know, obviously, look, I get pitched a lot of stuff that's not appropriate for Ghost Cult, and we're more broad than most other heavy music websites. We also cover Americana. I will cover a lot of synth wave and this dark wave stuff that metal fans seem to love now, like Carpenter Brut and other things. And we like all kinds of stuff, but like, we are very broad. Most websites are very niche. So you have to know your audience. Don't just blast 25 things and hope, you know, I understand time is of the essence. It's of the essence for me. It's of the essence for you guys, but just ask for what you want, be direct, and make sure you're not, you know, go, you know, hit the appropriate bucket of who you're trying to target. Make sure it's a site that would cover a band like yours. Those are just basic bare bones things.
And ask about the kids.
I guess. I don't know. It's creepy.
Just it. I wanted to jump in just for a brief second, Aaliyah. So Keith, can you kind of give a summary? Because you sort of did, it was a little bit not quite in depth enough. Can you kind of go over like what you expect from a concert review, not sure. Just a shot, but like what do you expect when you send a writer to go review a show?
Yeah, no problem. And I was mentioning off air, we literally have covered 4 or 5 shows this week alone, and 3 yesterday. I was in San Francisco last night at Catatonia, the Ocean Collective. My writer in Nashville covered Black Veil Brides, Ice Nine Kills, and Asking Alexandria. And my writer in the UK and London covered Rivers of Nile and Fallujah. Two continents, 3 shows. There's another one going on tonight. Wild. So in terms of what we're out there. We're out there. And you know, festivals is another thing we specialize in. That's just one of our things. We were formed to cover festivals. And so it's a point of pride for us. So in terms of what I expect, what I would like to see from even any review, a well-written review that is spell-checked, proofread, et cetera, some kind of introduction about the show, the night, the main band, some kind of introduction, like any good piece has an intro, a middle, the meat, a little bit of a review of the smaller bands on the bill, and maybe a lengthier review of the headliner, any pertinent things, a link to buy new music, tour dates. I don't necessarily need the set list unless it's a huge band or a major band. Like, I don't think people are really interested in the set list of an unknown band unless there's a cover or something interesting about it. Hey, we went and played our whole album from 10 years ago, even if we're an unknown band. That's kind of cool. But unless it's a novelty, I don't need too much. I need just enough. And then in terms of the amount of photos, obviously you need website ready photos. So not DPI for printing. I don't need 300 DPI. I need appropriate photos for my site. So you should, you know, I have a style guide and I have a photography guide, sort of loose, but you know, we've sent around what we expect. You know, not everybody's a different snowflake like a writer. Everybody's a different snowflake like a photographer, but there's a certain visual style that we like that makes for a good experience on our website in terms of the cell phone, mobile, or computer. And an appropriate amount of photos. Do not send me 100 photos and tell me to pick the 10 I want. That makes me nuts. And even still, some of my people do it because like, I can't decide. Decide. It's your job. You're the photographer. Decide. You decide. If you give me 100, I'm going to pick the first 10 and then you're going to be mad. So please don't, I don't have time. So, you know, maybe 10, speaking of 10, 10 is a good amount for a headliner, 10 to 15, maybe 20, if it's somebody exceptional, but I probably don't need that many. And maybe 3 to 5 for all the openers, unless it's some tour like Black Veil Brides. Now that tour has 3 bands. They all could be headlining. And they're touring to the Trinity of Terror, it's called.
I was supposed to go to that too, and it got canceled. But
yeah, I know. Sorry, pal. Yeah. This is their second leg, and it's all sold out pretty much. I have a feeling they're going to book a third.
If time permits. That doesn't help, Keith.
I guess. It doesn't help. I guess. Is that a better answer? Sorry.
Yeah, it is. But here's the next thing I wanted to ask. So Aliyah, this is not going off topic, by the way, but it's part of it. So what would you say would be the proper etiquette for your writers when they go to shows? Because I have personally seen writers go in like they're like superstars and they should be able to get anywhere. But can you kind of cover what you kind of feel would be the proper etiquette?
Sure thing. And this is I've had my own experiences with this.
I'm sure you have.
You know, no matter how you feel, there's a lot of entitlement out there. I actually saw a tweet just earlier. A photographer was told no by a publicist. We all know in the business, running a pretty decent size metal major, semi-major metal label, pretty major. And they told them no. And that person did not want to take no for an answer. What do you think it's going to do for you if you don't take no for an answer? You're going to get blacklisted. That person's going to tell all their friends in PR, don't support this person. Don't cover their site if they ask for that. So you don't want that to be the story about you. You want to have good relationships. But also, especially now, I have to be honest, like for the first year, you know, I live in California now. And I've been very fortunate. I got to go to shows before everybody. I got vaccinated before everybody. I went to every show possible. I went 511 days without a show, and I was losing it because that was my whole life when I lived in the East Coast. But I moved out here. It opened up first. We got to a lot of shows. And I will tell you, a lot of times you'll get to the box office, your ticket's not there. I was a little bit late last night. I missed the beginning of Cellar Darling, boo on me. And luckily my ticket was right in. It was ready. I went right in. But that doesn't always happen. Sometimes the tour manager doesn't put the list in, or sometimes you just get dropped off the list.
Yep.
Don't make a scene. Don't be a dick. Don't be an ass. You know, I always try to get, if I can, the tour manager contact number. You don't abuse that either. That's a privilege. Yep. But you try to, or I'll have to email my person. But let's face it, Curtis, if you're busy with your kids at 7-8 at night, if you were doing tour press, or Aliyah, are you going to be answering an email, a urgent email on your phone at 8 at night or 9 at night for somebody trying to get into a show somewhere else? You're not. So sometimes you're going to get disappointed. Don't react badly. Second, carry yourself appropriately. This is a privilege. This is not, even for the big, I've seen the editor of one of the biggest websites in metal get thrown out of an arena show because they didn't follow the rules. I'm not going to say who. It wasn't because they were being bad. The rules were extra stringent and dicky, and that person just got busted. Mm-hmm. And that's a shame. But if that person could get thrown out of a show, anybody could get thrown out of a show. They're literally the editor of the biggest metal website in the world. You can do the math. There's only a couple.
I know who we're talking about. But
it only falls under that explanation. And then just as a photographer, things are going to happen. The photo pit is cutthroat. A lot of people are competitive. And if you have a problem at a show and you're a writer or a photographer, don't act out. Try not, unless somebody's physically harming you, then yes, obviously you have to react. But unless it's that serious, don't react. Go about your business, try to get your work done, leave, and then take it up with your editor to help defend you. I've had to defend my photographers from a variety of things. There's a famous story about one of my dear friends and photographers who got punched in the eye, in the camera body, into their face during a hardcore show, broke their nose, the band stopped the show. She shot two more photos and passed out. And luckily she was okay, made it home, hospital, nose is okay. But like, that should never happen at a show. That's horrible. I used to, when I was also a concert photographer once. I'm kind of pretty retired now, but I just don't have time. But basically, when I used to shoot shows, you could see the bad actors. And there are some world famous people who are terrible etiquette concert photographers, and they just seem to get away with it. But don't react. Don't do what they do. I see a lot of that. Like, oh, I saw someone jump in front of somebody's shot. Don't do that. Just don't do it. If someone does it, you don't do it too. You know, you watch what people do and you do the opposite of bad behavior. That's just my two cents. I'm very, Omar's my photo editor. He knows I'm very severe, and he's always like, you got to dial it down. You got to take it down a notch. But I'm also who I am.
Fair. Aliyah, we've spent almost 30 minutes on this one topic. Do we want to go to the next one?
Yeah, let's hop on over.
I didn't think we'd take this long.
Trail.
Cool. You invited me.
I just didn't realize we could talk about this long. I wasn't saying,
we could have had just one topic, and I had the one topic that could have taken a whole episode, and I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, and I thought we couldn't, so that's my bad. Anyway, Aliyah, you want to go with this?
Sure. Let's talk about year-end lists and how to be a contributor in this world of journalism. It's often talked about how bands can benefit a lot from being involved in their scene and just supporting other artists. So can you maybe speak to how bands can have opportunities to contribute in the form of a year-end list?
Sure thing. Most websites, metal or not, and most editors love listicles. It's no-brainer work. Someone else is doing the work for you and you just have to submit it into a form that works for your website. Hopefully the person answers the email correctly and gives it back to you in the format you might ask for. Ghost Cult, we don't do a lot of listicles. I'm actually rethinking this for YouTube in the future, where I may just start doing listicles because they just seem to do gangbusters traffic. And I'm like, maybe I should be doing listicles. I don't know. I don't want to be a follower, but it's the same thing. In terms of us, we do year-end stuff. We just finished our year-end countdown, album of the year countdown. Nice amount of traffic from that. And I'll be able to repurpose that for the month of December. We'll do a thing very soon where we will send an email out to our emissaries, all the PR friends and family, and say, hey, here's an opportunity for your artist to get a little extra coverage this year. Have them send us, could be a video, could be written, an end of year list. And you know, they could be a write-up or not, that's fine. Because if there's no write-up, I'll just stick a video in there or a link to the music of the band. I get a free post. I get to tag every band in the thing. Sometimes they share it, sometimes they don't. Sometimes the artist doesn't share their own thing, which still baffles me and boggles my mind. And in terms of pitching, because that's what you asked about, I think if you see a website that does this kind of stuff, go back and look at their stuff or track the websites. See who, what are the 20 websites I would like to see my band in? And make sure, again, it's a match. If you have a Stone or Doom band, you want to be on the obelisk. JJ has a form for form interviews, and he's really good at it. I know I'm going to shout out my friend Zanae at Metal Insider, Zanae Zukowski. She does a thing on pets and bands and their pets. I think it's amazing. I wouldn't copy that idea, but they've cornered that thing. It's awesome. And kind of reminds me of like the Cats on Amps calendar, except now it's a blog post. Amazing. Great job. So in terms of pitching, see websites you want to be on, see which ones do listicles and things like this. And then right there, I'm sure every website has a contact page or an email. Hey, we put a record out this year or last year. Here's a little bit about us. I don't know if you guys are interested, but we'd love to contribute a guest post. We could do, here's some ideas, end of year stuff and yada ideas, and pitch it that way. And again, I think between all this, I think a lot of underground bands do get opportunities. And again, an editor will see this as, oh, that's one less post I have to write myself or make or edit too much, hopefully. And of course, spell check your own work. Please don't send in something poor. And you know, if you're not confident about your own, Grammarly is free, and I'm a big fan. You also can find a friend that knows how to edit for you. Give it to someone else to read first. Read it out loud if you're not good at editing. If it sounds bad to you, you've made a mistake. And spell checking is free, again, on every program in the world. So these are bare basic things. And I don't necessarily need somebody to send me graphics or video clips unless you specifically want this clip. But I have images, I have graphics, I have album artwork. I can get all that myself. And it's better if I do it anyway. But yeah, make, just like everything else, just like I say to PRs and just like I say to bands, make it easy for me to help support you. Do it as easily as possible so I can help you.
I have an aside here just as a small tip for bands, just because Keithy brought it up. Be very, very careful in your spelling and grammar. I know all of us make mistakes, but as a publicist, it is really, 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 really difficult to have to go in and just fix everybody's shit. I'm sure the same thing happens to Keithy. We miss shit, and then the editor gets upset about it because we miss shit. Anyways, it's an aside. Please.
I make mistakes. I pride myself on being a great editor. And then I just found out recently that Hootsuite, which is a social media program I use to schedule my posts, was like, I would schedule it to go or click send. And I've linked the Facebook account, let's say for Facebook, and it will eliminate the text entirely of the linked account. So nice. Blank is kicking off a tour this week and here's their new music video. And somebody would be like, dude, what is this post? There's no band here. Oh my God. Embarrassing. So, it happens to the best of us.
It happens to everyone. Hey, we our press releases go through three different people and we will sometimes find mistakes. And it's,
you need fresh eyes. Even I have,
all of us do.
You see me.
But anyways, that was an aside. So Aaliyah, what else do we want to cover on these top tens?
This was your topic, actually.
Well, so I just wanted to know if I'm like, okay, good. I wanted to keep going. So Keithy, if a band is submitting to you for a year-end list, what is the advantage to the band in question for doing it because they're just promoting another band. So like, what's the point?
Well, I mean, first of all, that's just goodwill. Everybody who has a band, you are influenced by somebody. Any band that tells me I have no influences, I invent everything myself. Bullshit. Okay, straight up. First of all, it's just goodwill. And fans like to know your picks. We're all in a kind of weird, strange black hole universe. You know, we're through the wormhole where everyone has an opinion because of social media now. Mm-hmm. We put our list out. People were very mad at our list. And I am very unhappy with this choice. Why is this band so low? So everybody likes to compare. That's what we do. We're in a measuring contest of all sorts with each other. So it's goodwill for your band to shout out other bands, whether it's your peers, whether it's bands you're not even close to.
Yeah.
It's people want to know. They're just curious. If you have actual fans that are invested in you, they want to know this information. If you can write a little something, it's even better because you're coloring in the lines. You're curating your own story. And I think it's super cool. And then also your band is getting tagged in on a post with all these other bands.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. And a lot of times the bigger bands will share the little band's post and that little band will get a few extra listeners just because of that big band sharing it. Not all the time, but it does happen. Okay. So now I know some people like to kind of give a little explanation about their pick, do a little blurb about it. Other people just like to do the list. What do you prefer as the editor of a site when bands submit these things to you?
I mean, a blurb is nice because you really get the voice of the person writing. Sometimes we've done this where each person in the band will send in a smaller list of each of them in hopes that that whole thing, which I will post that whole thing because I think that's cool also. You know, a little blurb is nice, but some people, if you're absolutely not articulate or don't have time and you just want a bullet point list with the number, you know, literally the number one being number one, that's fine to send into.
So how long do you prefer these lists to be? Because I've had people give me like top 50 and I'm like,
no, not necessary. If you're not writing, if you're not me, I don't want to see your top 50. I don't want it. I don't even want mine. I barely could get 20 done this year. It was so hard. There was so many equal bands for me from like 15 to 40. 20 max, really. 20 is pushing it. My own staff will do 10 or 20. So really, I don't need anybody's 40. I'm definitely not going to put that much time into that either. Also, like, you know, possibly editing it, crafting it onto my site for a proper format. So 20 or 10 is fine. And then again, when they gave me just a list, I'm still going to have like a little blurb on every single guest post on my site. That's like, hey, so-and-so put out this new record this year. Here's a link to their Bandcamp. Check them out for fans of. I'll do like a little blurb that I write with a photo of them and maybe their artwork for their thing and a link to their Bandcamp. That's free press from my site to yours. That's one more way I can help a band. And whether it's the biggest bands or the smallest bands, I've gotten some wild lists over the years. And even some lists that were just like nothing, like the most metal, black metal person. And their list is like Taylor Swift and Olivia Rodrigo and Meghan Trainor. So
I hate those writers that do like all these bands no one's heard of intentionally just to try to make themselves look like so.
That's cool. Every writer, because we're all pretentious dicks.
Like, well, some, but yeah.
I try not to be, but you know, everybody's trying to be cool and everybody's trying to have that cool. There's really like one cool writer in all of metal and that's Brian Krasman, like Meet a Metal Blog. That's the only cool writer I can think of. There's a bunch of cool ones. Kevin, who's on the show a lot here, he's incredible.
I was just going to say, you have to shout out Ian and Kevin, because they're basically—
Yeah, Ian and Kevin are both great.
There's a handful.
Although Ian gets pretty fucking obscure. Sorry, Ian, I'm sure you're listening to this, but you can get fucking obscure, dude.
Are you sure he's listening to
Mister,
this?
Mr. I don't know who Lorna Shore is.
That was the funny part. I know he didn't know Lorna Shore. He knows like some small band from Chile.
Not Ian, but there's a huge thing going on the interwebs now. I think it comes really from Reddit, where somebody will say, so-and-so band, and someone else is going to go, oh, don't be a dick. You know who it is. Unless it's a really underground band.
I think he is
genuinely. He's like, well, he knew who they were, but he doesn't know what they sounded like.
So. But also like deathcore is deathcore is very popular. But also if you don't like that genre at all, you're never going to listen to that band ever. If you don't like progressive metal or progressive rock, you would never listen to Devin Townsend unless he was doing the metal Devin Townsend. Then you're like, oh, I know that guy. Didn't he used to be heavy? Ha, ha, ha. Yes, he was. He still is, actually. Yeah. So I don't know. I think a lot of writers are just very pretentious in trying to show off. There's definitely bands. I don't know every band. We reviewed 600 albums this year, 600 when it's all said and done. And our vote for the album of the year was 276. there's probably a thousands of other albums I'm unaware of. I do my best, but, and I try to listen to them all actually, but it's really hard.
It's funny because I listen to music all the time. I always have stuff on, and I'll have writers be like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I don't know who the fuck you're talking about. Like literally, and it'll be like a band with like 2 million followers or something. I'm like, how do you not know this band? They're like so big.
Different strokes.
I guess. I don't know. Like Aaliyah too with her fucking symphonic metal shit. She'll like be all big on some band. I'm like,
well, and I actually, that's a perfect example because it's like, I'm very, like I listen to like melodic death metal, symphonic metal, and folk metal, and like not a lot else. And so, yeah, if there's other bands, it makes sense that I would know bands that you don't know in those sort of realms.
This is true. This is true. It's just funny to me because you'll like talk about some band, I'll look them up, and I'm like, oh, like 6 million followers or something like that. I've never fucking heard of them. I thought they were obscure.
And there's another topic for a future podcast for you. It is that a lot of times writers are inappropriate for the genre they're given, and you have to be able to say, this isn't right for me to review. Unless you're the kind of writer, you just love dogging stuff. Then of course you give the person that loves only black metal, you give them the pop metal record and they trash it. That's good for clicks. I think it's bad journalism. It's not even journalism. It's just bad interwebbing. I don't know what you would call it, but well, that's just my two cents.
Just as an aside, I'm going to give my two cents on this because I always would think it would be a good challenge for a writer who doesn't like a genre to look at it from their perspective, but not just to slag it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, we've had a few of those this year, which is like, this really wasn't for me, but I gave it a real fair shot to try to review it. And I think we have better reviewers than most of the sites out there because a lot of our people are either coached up by myself and my beloved senior editor, Stephen Tovey, or we just have former magazine writers and former bloggers and people who saw our style guides, see how we do, and they came along. Somebody who's just going to trash stuff's not going to work for us anyway. And that's why most albums are a 6, 7, or an 8, not all 10s and definitely not 2s. And we know even anything that's just terrible or a writer just can't, like, I can't do this review. We either take it, one of us takes it, or we just let it go because it's just not, it doesn't make sense for me to post a bunch of 2 reviews. They're not going to get read. The publicist definitely doesn't want to share it. The band is mad. I don't get any gratification in that. I'd much rather lift up the bands that are being unheard and make them heard.
Yep. Well, we have to wrap, so I'm going to let Aaliyah do the outro in a second, but I just want to point out something. Nothing irritates a publicist more than sending us your 2 review or your 1 review and then asking us to fucking share it because we are not going to fucking share it. I fucking hate that. Just as an aside, people do it. People fucking do it and it drives me fucking nuts and I never fucking answer them.
And if I hope it's not us. As a band, I can concur with that.
Yeah, sending it to the band too. Can you share? No, I can't.
Well, I mean, I'll tag a band and if we publish a thing, I will tag a band. We've had people, I'll just say really quickly, probably my favorite thing all year is that we gave the new Megadeth a 7. It still ended up in our top 20, by the way, for the year.
It's at least an 8.
Because of the votes from the staff, but we gave it a 7. And you have never seen fans get angrier over an album they thought was a 10 given a 7.
Not a 10.
Thousands
for sure.
Of clicks. Thank you, Megadeth fans, for making my whole year and clicking on that review angry. Thanks.
I would not say that album was a 10, but it was at least an 8, just as an aside.
I had it at an 8 too, but our guy gave it a 7 and I let my writers write. And unless it's egregiously bad, we don't change anything.
Fair enough. So Aaliyah, I'll let you wrap up now because otherwise we're gonna keep talking.
Yeah, I feel like we could keep talking a while. So happy 10th anniversary to Ghost Cult Magazine. And thanks for having this great conversation. There's so much great info. Everybody take notes. And yeah, until next time, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.